Hello, Badger fans, and welcome to another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. As always, Tyler Hunt and Matt Bells here covering everything Wisconsin athletics. On today's show, we've got some news to talk about in the front. We've got a little volleyball, a little basketball, a little football to follow up on. So a little bit of everything in the news portion. And then in the back half of the show, like we mentioned earlier in the week, we're going to get into spring football, kind of the post-spring football season. Today, we're going to do grades for the offensive position groups, kind of see where we feel with each group after what was a strong spring for some position groups and maybe a struggle for others. So we'll get into each of that, kind of go through our grades, explain where we think each group is at as they enter summer conditioning, and then, of course, into the fall football season. So plenty of time to still improve those grades if they're not where they want to be right now. So that should be a fun exercise. Today we'll do just offense. We'll do the defense, of course, next week and give you guys a full position-by-position breakdown of everything spring football that way to kind of round out that season. Matt, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Yeah, no, I think this will be a fun episode, talking a little bit about some of the top performers, what we're thinking about each position group heading out of the spring in those 15 practices.
Yeah, I think it'll be really good to kind of put a bow on what was a fun spring football season. Of course, we've talked about it time and time again, spring football being so important and some of these guys never going through one. At the end of the day, just them having it is always a positive and a good grade in that regard. But I think there's some position groups that we'll certainly get into today that are probably trending better right now than others. So that'll be a fun little exercise to get into. But before we do that, let's do some news. We'll start with the volleyball side. Sydney Hilly, Lauren Barnes, Georgia Sitvia all announced that they will be returning for the fall season. It's going to be so weird because they're playing this spring and then it's going to be, you know, volleyball is going to be here right, you know, before you know it. So when you're talking about a team, I know, of course, this year ended at the Final Four. I'm sure in terms of their expectations and goals, they did not exceed what they wanted to hit. Of course, they were expecting to be a team that played in the national championship, possibly won a national championship, fell short of that. But when you talk about a run for next year, getting some of these players back is certainly going to be important to go along with some other of the younger group that will, of course, need to step up. So what did you make of those three returning, and how big is that for Kelly Sheffield and his group?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely huge when you look at the three who are coming back. All three were huge contributors and some of the best players on the entire team. So to have that trio back, I think, is really going to be huge. They're dynamic players that will help this team out majorly as they kind of are going through a transition between some of their top players also leaving. I mean, you had Molly Haggerty go ahead and decide to go pro, which I think is a great move for her. I'm excited for her. But there's still a couple of names that have to go ahead and make a decision. You've got Kraft, you've got Retke, Loberg, who kind of have to make a decision. We'll see what they go with. But really, to have at least these three come back, it makes a ton of sense because you get a free education for another year, take advantage of that opportunity, still get to play the game you love, hang out with your friends, and compete. And so I think overall, Kelly Sheffield has to be ecstatic. I know he is usually pretty active on social media, and he let fans know just how excited he is. And I think Badger fans who cover volleyball closely should also be excited because they're getting two really good defenders back in the Big Ten Center of the Year. So you can't go wrong with that.
No, that's a great place to start when you're looking at a team for next year. Like you mentioned, there's still some big decisions to come. It's possible that maybe one of those two comes back. Who knows? But even if they don't, you've got a solid foundation. You've got some other younger players. Kelly Sheffield has done really well in recruiting. So you've got a team that, you know, I don't know in terms of depending on who comes back and who doesn't, are they going to be as, you know, as strong as this year and last year? Probably not, because you're going to be probably without, you know, like you mentioned, Molly Haggerty, you're going to be already without that piece. So that's a pretty big piece. But either way, you've got a really solid team that should compete in the Big Ten. It'll be a team that can make an NCAA tournament run, and Kelly Sheffield, like I mentioned, is a really strong coach and has recruited really well. So this team is at a good spot at this point in time. And thankfully, it's a short off season for some of these girls. You don't have to see months and months, a full year waiting to start back up. You're going to be right back into it, pretty soon here come fall. So it should be fun to see where this team is at and see what they can do next year. I'm excited to see where they'll be at as next season comes up on them.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. This is a good group, and really just to have three players that have really a lot of experience and are some of your top players back is helpful, because you're going to have some younger players who are going to be stepping up into larger roles. So to have some veteran leadership at the back end and in your setter is going to definitely help.
All right, moving on down the line here, we've talked a little volleyball, now let's talk some basketball. Jonathan Davis was announced Wednesday afternoon that he was invited to try out for the U.S. national team, which will be competing in the FIBA U19 World Cup that will be taking place in Latvia this July. So always good news for a player of Jonathan Davis's caliber. Had a really strong season this year and expected to take on a bigger role this upcoming year, but to get that invite to go and try it out for any sort of World Cup team like that is pretty significant, especially for a UW player. What did you make of that announcement, and how psyched are you to see what he can do at that tryout?
Yeah, I think it's huge for him personally, because that's a really nice platform. There'll be a lot of scouts out there. It's good, valuable experience for him to really hone his game, work with some top-tier players. You look at kind of the normal complexion of that team, and you've got guys who are projected draft picks, some of the top players in the country who are usually part of that team. So for him to have the opportunity to compete at that level, have a chance to possibly make the team, would be huge. It would be big for his development. And I think overall, just the more situations where you can put yourself in an environment to compete and to become better, work with top-tier coaches. I mean, Jamie Dixon's going to be the coach, who's a really solid coach from TCU. You look at it, and I think you've got to be happy for him. It'd be awesome if he made the team, but no matter what, it's going to be a great experience for him to potentially practice against some of the top players in the country and really get a better gauge of where he's at as well heading into next year.
Yeah, I think that part of it is huge, just to see where he measures up. Of course, if you watch Wisconsin basketball, you know how talented he is, but you're going to go and get to play with some of the best players around the country. I mean, you look at the 2019 team, the guys that were on that team, Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, these are all names that, back then you knew a little bit about, but now you really know as guys that are going to be, three of the top five picks in the NBA draft. So it's not like it's just random guys getting invited. These are all talented players that are going to be there. I'm sure this 2021 team and invites will all be pretty strong as well. So for Jonathan Davis to be able to go there and try and develop and get a gauge of where he's at, learn from a coach like Jamie Dixon and their staff, is all going to be important. And if he does make the team, great. But if not, that's still very valuable experience that will help him in terms of his game and where he's developing. So if you're a Badger fan, I think you really have to be excited about him getting that invite and hopefully having a chance to up his game and learn as much as he can.
For sure.
All right, following up on a story here for football, last episode we talked about Malik Reed entering the transfer portal. We kind of hinted that maybe it was a situation where he was looking to be closer to home. That is, in fact, the case. Of course, the Chandler, Arizona native announced that he will be committing to the University of Arizona. So I think in terms of his transfer, makes a ton of sense to get back home closer to where his family is. I know he's kind of thanked UW, was very grateful for his time there, but it seems like a situation where he wanted to get back to playing out on the West Coast near his family. So tip of our cap to him. We wish him the best. Anything to add on that Malik Reed story?
Yeah, I mean, it makes a ton of sense given the fact that he quickly made the decision and quickly landed in Arizona. You would think that he had intentions of going back home. He had a bunch of Pac-12 offers out of high school, so it makes a ton of sense. He was 1,600 plus miles away from home, and that is a distance that is something to get used to. So I think overall, I hope that works out for him, whatever he feels is in his best interest. I think the Badgers, like we mentioned last podcast, will be perfectly fine in terms of their depth chart. You just got to hope that he's able to continue his career and have success there, unless they were playing the Badgers.
That's a great point to add at the end. Yeah, it'll be fun to see and then hopefully follow his career. Like I said, it makes a ton of sense, especially with the new transfer rules right now. You can go and be likely, you know, immediately eligible for him. So I think it'll be a good spot for him to continue his career. And you always like to watch and keep an eye on former Badgers. We'll make sure to do that as Malik Reed heads to Arizona. All right, guys, so that wraps up our news. We'll get our ad reads out of the way quickly right now, and then we'll get into our spring football grades for the offensive side of the football.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Garrett Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope, it's the dog.
All right, so spring practice has come and gone. Overall, I think it was a solid few weeks for Wisconsin football. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, it's just good that they had spring football. Last year, of course, that was taken away. You saw the, I don't want to say stunt in development for some players, but just the lack of reps certainly led to some ugly football, especially early last fall. I remember the first few weeks of the regular season across the country watching college football. Things did not look as crisp as they normally do in late August, early September that way. So in the end, just having a spring football season is great, but I think there are some position groups that you feel a little bit more confident about than others right now after the few weeks of spring ball that way. So let's start with the wide receiver position. Where do you grade them out? What do you feel about them after these few weeks of spring football?
I feel better about them after spring. I'll say that. Going into the spring, you kind of knew that you had the three upperclassmen who decided to come back. You had Danny Davis. You had Kendrick Pryor. You had Jack Dunn, all guys who have made an impact at various times in their careers with Wisconsin. You also had Chimere Dike, who is also in that top four that you could say. And he had a pretty good year last year as he kind of was thrown into the fire, got a lot of experience, and made some nice plays because I think he might be the most dynamic player that they have in the group. But I also love to hear that Devin Chandler made some nice strides. And then you also look at it that my grade is going to also include the fact that they've got a couple really good freshmen coming in come fall. And overall, I think this group, I love the depth. They've got a lot of good depth. They've got lots of bodies that you can trust. So that I think they're in a better spot that if somebody goes down this year, they have the depth to be able to have some weapons still around Graham Mertz to help them out. I don't see the Quintez Cephas type or, even like a Jared Aberderis or anybody that is like, that is the go-to guy, crunch time. He's going to be able to make a huge play. He's a huge, by far the difference maker of the group. You don't see that dynamic player right now. It could be DK, who I still think is probably the most talented of the bunch. But as of right now, he's still a redshirt freshman or sophomore, depending upon how the COVID waiver stuff all fleshes out down the line. But I think because of the depth, because of the fact that you saw some young guys bolster up, and I think you got A.J. Abbott had a nice spring. You've got about six guys that I think you feel very comfortable with. And then you've got two young freshmen coming in that I think the staff is really excited about. So I would have to say that this group's probably a B+. I'm not going to put them in that A range, though, because I don't think that they have the player, the one that you look at and you're like, that's an NFL dude at this moment that's going to help you win a game. Games on the line, you throw it up and you know he's just going to out-muscle somebody for the ball. And so and that could happen. I think you look at what Danny Davis and Chimere Dike could be, and I think they could. We haven't seen Danny Davis in that role yet because he played two games last year, really one game last year. But I like the group. I just don't know if I can go anything higher than a B-plus right now.
Yeah, I think that's an absolutely fair grade, and that's exactly where I had them as well. And, you know, kind of the same points, you know, right? You come into this right now, I think you feel confident in the group, like you kind of said there. You've got Danny Davis, you've got the veterans that you feel like you know what you're getting from them. So if they're healthy and out there able to play, you hope that maybe you can get a little bit more of them. Like maybe Danny Davis comes out and has, you know, the potential that is there that we've seen from him, you know, early in his career, his freshman season, you saw what he could do. It hasn't necessarily gotten back to that level, and I know last year was sort of banged up. So maybe if he's healthy and playing, he can elevate his game and be better. You feel confident about him. The same thing with Kendrick Pryor. Always been a pretty consistent player. Last year banged up. If he's healthy and playing, I think you like what you've got there. So if the veterans are healthy, you've also got a guy like Jack Dunn who gives you some depth. And then the young guys, if they're learning and getting reps, I think you feel good about what you've got going into at least the summer conditioning and fall camp. So I wouldn't necessarily say there was anything that really jumped off the page. You know, we've only – and it was weird this year with spring ball. There wasn't as much media attendance. So you couldn't always get a read on, you know, every – you know, who's coming into practice every day and playing well. A lot of what we've gotten to go off of is from position coaches and the players when they spoke to the media. But for the most part, things I wouldn't necessarily say jumped off the page, and there wasn't – I wouldn't say there was lack of excitement there, but I wouldn't say there's anything that – you know, there's not a guy that was necessarily lighting the world on fire. You know, A.J. Abbott was learning. Chandler and DK were all getting reps, and the older guys are healthy. So that's all fine and great. But, yeah, I would have to say a B-plus is probably a fair range for them as you go into you know, this summer conditioning, but that's certainly not a bad spot to be in right now.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that I learned from it, at least, is that you look at the depth that they have, and you didn't hear Jack Dunn's name nearly as much. Mm-hmm. And I think that nothing against Jack Dunn, because I think he's done some amazing things to help this team along, both as a punt returner as well as a slot receiver. But for this team to be at their best level, he can't be your number one wide receiver. He can't be one of your top three wide receivers. And so I think hearing the development of Chimere Dike, hearing A.J. Abbott, Devin Chandler, some of those guys were pushing for further reps and kind of exceeding expectations, doing a little bit more than what Dunn was doing. I think that's a positive sign for this group overall. And hopefully that will help the group have the depth to be able to, one, stay healthy, but also be able to make some plays outside to help Graham Mertz out.
All right, moving on down the line, you're speaking of weapons to help Graham Mertz out. I think the tight end room is up next. And from what I heard when doing some of these recaps from the pressers of the position coaches, I felt really confident about this tight end group. You know, I really liked the way Mickey Turner was speaking about each of his guys. It seems like they've got, you know, four tight ends there that they feel pretty good about, and all of them sound like they've gotten better. You know, Jake Ferguson sounds like he's taken on more of a leadership role, been more consistent, and playing like, you know, a true pro that's been there for years. So I really like what, you know, I've heard about him. Hayden Rucci's a guy that you expect to get better with a spring practice, but the other guys, you know, Jack Eschenbach sounds like he could be a pass catching threat, and then Jalen Franklin. They moved him to the tight end room for a reason last year. You know, I wouldn't say when they moved him, outside linebacker wasn't necessarily a position of immense strength where it just made sense to move him. They could have easily used his athleticism there, but it sounds like he's developed and start to really take a grasp of the tight end position, where he could be a guy that is helping out running routes and doing stuff that way. So I feel really confident with what's there. They certainly still need to get better. But in terms of grades and just where I had them as like a kind of that same range. I put it as an A-, B-plus in that range. You know, it's not like the tight end room is overly strong outside of Jake Ferguson, but it just sounds like everybody has gotten better and progressed really well there. So it just seemed like confidence was radiating out of Mickey Turner with what he's got in his group. So right now I feel really good about the tight end room.
Yeah, I would agree with you and probably go in that A-minus range just because I think Jake Ferguson's probably the best player he's got on offense in terms of just being an overall factor in the offense. He can help out as a blocker, help out as a pass catcher. He'll be healthy. He's able to – won't have as many eyeballs on him because hopefully you have some of those wide receivers that can step up as well. And then you look back to where this team was in 2019, which was really the last time we were able to go into camp, see everything that's happening, and tight end room was just dropping like flies, and they were so thin. They had to convert some offensive linemen to end up at tight end and help out. And then you look at where they're at now and the development side of where things are at, and I think Mickey Turner has a reason to be excited. Because you've got Jake Ferguson, then you've got a nice core group of younger guys who are slowly developing. This whole group, pretty much, other than Jalen Franklin and Jack Eschenbach, this was their first spring. And Jalen Franklin was doing that at a different position. Jack Eschenbach was a tight end who was converting into a wide receiver who was converting into a tight end at that point. So it's for all intents and purposes, this was really Jake Ferguson was the only guy who had a normal spring before this point. And I think to hear Mickey Turner talk so well about this group, I know Jake Ferguson is excited about them as well, talking about that he saw a big jump from this group. I think that Badger fans should be excited. The depth is there to help them out. They've got some young guys that are probably a year away but are still developing. Clay Cundiff is another guy who I think had a nice spring that should help them out. So I think overall this group's in a really good spot. You want to hear that that a guy like Jalen Franklin or Jack Eschenbach can take that next step as another pass-catching threat or maybe a Hayden Rucci. But overall, I think they're in a really good spot. And because they have Ferguson, I have a hard time putting them anywhere below like that A-minus range.
Yeah, and just hearing, you know, from Jake Ferguson, his confidence in the group and sounding like he's gotten even better, I think that A range makes a lot of sense for that group as you move into this offseason. All right, moving on down the line here, we'll keep going down in the inside, the offensive line. There's been, I think, some really strong parts of the offensive line, some parts that you're still hoping for further development on. So where did you have that group as you go into this offseason?
I think when you look at the fact that they've got some turnover, you've got a lot of guys who've played, right? Like you've got Tyler Beach, started a bunch of games. Josh Seltzer, a left guard, played a ton of games. Caden Lyles, when he's healthy, he's played a lot of games. And Logan Bust played a whole crap ton of games. So I think the experience is there. Jack Nelson, I think, is exciting that he's projected to be your right guard because I think that elevates the athletic ability of this group. But I just, you look at it and there's not the guy. There's not a couple dominating players that you're like, this is a group that's going to maul people, that you don't have that Ryan Ramczyk. And I know that that's not something that Wisconsin always has, but at one of the premier offensive line colleges, you want a little bit more gusto out of this group. So I think I'm going to go with a B just because I think when you're looking at kind of the left guard and center combo of Seltzner and Lyles, I think they're a really strong group, but they're kind of heavy-footed. They're not super athletic in terms of what you might see from a guy like Jack Nelson. So I think there's some positives here that this group has played a lot of football, that they know what they're supposed to do. They should be fairly similar to what we saw last year, but I think this isn't, you know, that high-level offensive line that we have seen at times from Wisconsin, and I'm hoping that's because of the way they're recruiting, you're going to see that this is going to continue to go up. But really, looking at it, you've got decent depth. You've got a lot of guys vying for spots. Cormac Sampson, you feel about. Tanner Bordellini has saw some snaps. Logan Brown, Michael Furtney. Those guys have all played some football for the Badgers. But I think the bigger issue for me is that you don't have the studs up front that you might sometimes have. You don't have that guy that you turn to and you're like, yep, that's a first, second, third round draft pick right there for sure, at least in this draft class. Jack Nelson might be down the road, but right now I don't see that out of a guy like Tyler Beach, Logan Bruss, et cetera.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. Right now, this group certainly has all the potential to be better. You know, it's still Wisconsin offensive line. They've got a solid position coach in Joe Rudolph, so maybe they can elevate their game and really get up to where some of those expectations are. But right now, I don't think anyone necessarily jumps off the page in terms of where they're at and kind of being the guy that you look to and go, oh, man, you know, Wisconsin's got another tried and true dominating lineman right now. They just don't have that. They've got a collective group of five pretty good guys, but and really the five behind them as well, you know, in that two deep, they're all pretty good, but no one is that established, you know, stud that you're looking for that Wisconsin usually has. So in terms of grades, I had them at a B as well. You know, kind of really what elevated that grade to me was the strong camp of Jack Nelson, him stepping up and being consistent and sounding like a guy that's going to be in there is good. And the other positive, Caden Lyles, it sounds like he's healthy, which is always a plus. You know, he's a guy that has battled injuries, you know, throughout his career. He's a really good option at that center position, but he's got to be out there. I think last year you saw when he was banged up that you were working in, you know, a few different centers and things just don't necessarily click when you're having that rotation. So having him there is always a good plus. Then you go out to the tackle position, you know, Beach and Bruss, again, like we kind of mentioned, solid, you know, pretty good, but aren't guys that necessarily jump off the page. Then you add in, you thought maybe Logan Brown was going to be able, and in there, he sounds like he's running with the, you know, the secondary group, somewhat inconsistent. Of course, he's still young and developing and working at that tackle spot, but so overall, it sounds like an okay spring for them. Again, similar to the wide receiver room, nothing really jumped off the page outside of Jack Nelson to me. And then the left guard position, kind of interested to see how that shakes out with Seltzner right there. So I would definitely say things that could be improving, but it could be a lot worse. I'm sure there's offensive line rooms across the country that don't feel as good about Wisconsin. But when you play so dominantly at those positions for years, you have a little bit higher of a level of expectation. And right now I'd say they're probably just below that in terms of that offensive line room.
Yeah, and they can test – I think they could use a lot of different factors here to help them out, and I think that they're going to be solid, a good offensive line that people aren't going to have to worry about. At least Badger fans aren't going to have to worry about, like, oh, man, we're really struggling at this side of the line or anything like that. But I just don't think that there's that, like, high ceiling with this group because you kind of know what you're getting with a guy like Tyler Beach, Logan Bruss, for example, and that's good. That's a really good Big Ten offensive lineman. But I know that fans and what we've become accustomed to a lot of times with the Wisconsin offensive line is you're churning out, you know, top three round draft picks. And I just don't see that out of this group right now. And that's not a knock on them. You could definitely see a guy like Tyler Beach who has some swing capability because he's played guard, he's played tackle and has helped out. Maybe he makes a nice jump and elevates his stock a lot for the draft or anything like that. But really, I think right now those are their top five, but like you mentioned, I think it would have been nice to see a guy like Logan Brown take that next step, become consistent, because he is one of those kids that has that ceiling that you look at and you're like, yeah, that's a dude. And so I think that's the one piece they're missing, and they might get there. Who knows?
Yeah. I think the important part to note in this exercise and in these positions is where they're at kind of right now after that spring ball. And right now I think this offensive line group is not where they want to be in terms of, you know, their full potential, but I think you've got a really solid base and starting point, and you'll go into the season with a really good offensive line, but maybe not the Wisconsin football offensive line that you're accustomed to. But again, there's time to get there. Speaking of time to get there, I would think the running back room is a position that we might have a little bit more concern when you're looking at running back, fullback. I think coming into spring, there was concerns there already, and for me, those concerns kind of only got heightened. I mean, we hardly heard or saw anything about anyone other than Brady Shipper. You know, you had injuries that, you know, it didn't necessarily mean the guys were underperforming, but it also meant that a lot of these guys weren't getting reps, and you're already really thin at that running back position. I know Wisconsin's, of course, still kind of active in that transfer portal. I mean, you had Jack Dunn taking reps at running back at points in spring football. That does not, you know, mean that is not a positive for you in any sort of way. If you add in the fullbacks, I think that's maybe a nice wrinkle. Chenal sounds like he's developed and will be a good option to lead the way there. And I know, you know, down the road you've got Quan Easterling, and then you might need somebody else to move into that fullback room. But for me, I had this group as a D, like a D+, just because we really didn't find out much of anything from them. If anything, we had more concerns than it was coming in because everybody was banged up. The depth isn't there right now, and certainly that will get better as some of the younger guys get onto campus and give you a little bit more there. But right now, you know, Jalen Berger is your guy to lean on, but he was banged up a little bit as well. So it sounds like it was the Brady Shipper show most of spring, and he's a quality player, but you're going to need more from that running back room to get a solid grade, in my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you look at it, and I don't think this was the spring that Gary Brown was hoping for when he came and made that switch to Wisconsin. I mean, he's used to having a guy like DeMarco Murray in his backfield, and right now he did not have anything close to that because Jalen Berger was banged up. And I think if Jalen Berger's healthy, you're probably sitting at like a higher C, you know, like where you're like, oh, well, that's fine. Jalen Berger's solid. We trust him. And he's going to be RB1. Like, as of right now, that hasn't changed. Nothing changed in terms of that. But the fact that they were given Jack Dunn reps at running back, that you were given fullbacks reps at running back because you just didn't have bodies is a little scary at this point because Isaac Garendo hasn't been able to get healthy. Those hamstring injuries continue to pop up for him. And then you've got Julius Davis. Hasn't really been able to stay healthy during his time at Wisconsin yet either. And that's even going back to the end of his high school career. So your two backups that you were expecting to be competing for that role can't stay healthy. And you, let's be real, Wisconsin needs at least two running backs, if not three running backs to trust. And Bray Shipper is a kid that you can trust. He might be able to help you out in that third down back, but I don't think you want him taking extended carries. I don't think he's the guy that you want to be leaning on to spell Jalen Berger. So I think that the transfer portal is going to get white hot here for the Badgers. They're going to continue to hit that really hard because they're going to need to bring somebody in. And I know that there's some freshmen coming in that they need to, that they feel good about. I mean, now it sounds like Braylon Allen will even get a shot at running back, which I think is just wild because he's 240 pounds. But I think you look at things right now and just a snapshot grade for this spring, it has to be in that D or maybe a C- range because, sure, you feel good that you have Jalen Berger, but he missed out on a big chunk of spring. And you have two guys behind them that still aren't able to stay healthy and that weren't able to kind of prove their worth and help you out either. So right now you probably got Jalen Berger, a young kid who played some reps last year, and then it's a big old fat question mark. And that's not great coming out of spring, especially for a team that runs the ball so damn much and relies on the run. And that might mean more action for the next group that we're talking about here next, but I think really you look at it, they need to get these guys healthy. They might need to bring in another body, and hopefully they can do that.
Yeah, let's hope so, because right now there's certainly, you know, heightened concerns, as you can hear in both of our voices. You know, Jalen Berger, yeah, is the guy that you feel good about, but you're going to need a couple at least. So bringing in a body or making sure, you know, some of these guys get good. But, again, injuries have popped up throughout, you know, the careers of both of those, you know, guys that you're looking at for your number two. So you've certainly got some things there that you need to work out and iron out. You know, get some bodies there. Maybe this young group that comes in will help a little bit. But right now there are certainly red flags popping up all over the running back room, and hopefully they can go out in this summer conditioning and into fall practice and really get better and get healthy, because that's going to be a big talking point come that part of the season of where the running back room is and how they're progressing in a run-heavy team like Wisconsin.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have – I was going to say it would have been nice to have Nakia Watson during spring. And as he went off to Washington State, and he'll be competing for reps behind Max Borgi. But I just – it's that's going to be something to see here. And it would have been nice to have just another guy that you could have trust. I know he didn't necessarily bring a lot of dynamic playmaking ability with him, but he was healthy, and that was something that rarely was a knock on him.
Yeah, my how my how the tables have turned, that all of a sudden it would have been nice to have Nakia Watson, because you know, this time last year we were all kind of scratching our heads thinking, you know, where is this guy at in terms of his development that way. But we'll see. And maybe, like you said, that will open up some more opportunities to throw the ball a little bit with this quarterback room. For me, coming into this, when we talk about the grades, all that was really important in my eyes was them getting reps. I think, you know, even beyond Graham Mertz, of course, it's going to be important that Mertz gets a lot of reps, takes steps forward. But even Chase Wolf and Danny Vandenberg, all these guys just getting reps and growing in their game is important. And then also the relationship between, you know, Paul Christ taking over that quarterback room. You don't have John Budmeyer. How is that progressing? I think were the two things that you really looked at. You know, for Mertz, it sounds like he had taken step forwards mentally. He said, you know, a few times in his presser, the game has slowed down some for him, which is great. You know, so as long as he's progressing and taking steps forward, it sounds like you know, that's going well. You know, him and Chris seem like they're working well together. It doesn't sound like there's been a ton of changeover between what him and, you know, Mertz and John Budmeyer had versus what Mertz and Coach Chris have that way. So would I have liked to hear some more stories about him just coming out and lighting up and dominating in practice? Sure. But given that this year you didn't have as much access, you couldn't be in there to see every practice, I'll take what you got. And it sounds like he's, and you know, what we've got is him progressing and things slowing down. So I would say the quarterback room probably in that B plus range right now as well. You know, it's a good foundation to start on, but certainly you'll hope that they can get better as they move into this offseason.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I'm going to say a B plus as well. You saw, or you have heard, you know, positive signs about his development. I think the transition to Chris as OC is going well. I think those things are important. I think the biggest thing was that this spring they didn't try to pander and give a bunch of guys reps with the ones. And they just said Graham Mertz is going to get every reps with the ones. And I think that's important for this spring. When you get to fall, maybe you can sprinkle some of those in for a guy like Chase Wolf, who's your backup. But really, they focused on Graham Mertz's development, and I think that's important. Developing that cohesion with his wide receivers that were so banged up in and out of the lineup last year. I think he mentioned that he thinks it's completely different this year. It's looking a lot better. We also learned that he was dealing with an injury last year with that shoulder. So I think his ability to know the signs, work through everything, and really just lock down his position, know how everything works, go through his progression, and have wide receivers to throw the ball to, should help this a lot. I can't go off projection and say it's going to be an A or an A minus. And it's definitely, it's got the potential where it could get there, but it just as easily could go down to that B minus range very quickly. So I think right now I'll say a B plus because I'm cautiously optimistic that he's made some nice steps. We've heard only positive things about it, but you got to remember most of this spring he's been throwing on air or at least been throwing without a rush in his face. And so that kind of piggybacks on that offensive line talk that we had, in which they're mostly a little bit better group with run blocking. And so I think Mertz will be fine. I think the offense as a whole will be good. I think hopefully your running backs can stay healthy, so it's not on all on his shoulders like it was last year for large chunks of the year. But overall, I think the development-wise, this spring was big for him.
Yeah, I think it was a huge portion of the spring football, just getting him developed and getting him moving forward, and hopefully the offense as a whole can kind of keep, you know, taking positive steps. I mean, when you look at the grades back, for the most part, we were, you know, pretty much in that B range for a lot of these positions outside of the running back room. So in the grand scheme of things, things are looking okay. Pretty good right now is probably, you know, where as the offense as a whole is at. And that's what you'll take going into the off season, but there's certainly room for improvement as we move forward. To round things out, anything else you've got on the offense side of the football before we end this episode of the podcast?
No, I think that should do it. I mean, you look at it overall, this group should be better than they were last year because you have all the bodies that you need. You probably aren't going to have as many of the COVID woes and guys popping in and out of the lineup. I don't want to jinx the hell out of the Badgers, but you would hope that they won't have some of the same issues that they had with with not only injuries, but also COVID concerns. So I think things are trending in a positive way for this offense. I think the biggest thing is with Paul Christ running everything, kind of reassuming control of the offense in the quarterback room, I think that it's a positive sign. Now you just got to make sure that you can maybe bring in another running back or make sure that everybody's healthy going into fall.
I think that's a great way to round things out for the offensive side of the football, guys. So thanks, as always, for listening. We'll be back with you, of course, next week to do the defensive side of the football, hand out report cards for there. As always, on Wisconsin. Mm-hmm.